Edwards guarded by Butler. Pinned to the left sideline. Gets Pajemski on a switch. Shot clock at three. Edwards holds him off. Contested three on the way. Wow. Good. Right over the top of Pajemski. Cuts the Warrior lead in half. What a shot. 75-72.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call. It was a big shot because the Warriors had bumped it to six.
Man.
And the shot clock was running down. And the thing about Edwards is he can just elevate.
Yes, we saw.
And get it over you. Doesn't mean he's going to make it, but he can get a shot when he needs to. Game four tonight starts at 7 o'clock. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors and what they have to do to even this series. And I think it's as simple as they need to get more contributions from more players. They just have not had enough players play well in this series. And if it continues like it's been, I don't see how they can win on the back of just two or three players every night.
Yeah, and the makeup of this team, and I'm including the regular season, Stein, if I were to not watch a game and just look at the box score of what I think was accomplished by all the players collectively, and you tell me Moses Moody played 3 minutes, I would tell you something's gone wrong. And he, like, that's a void to feel. We can sit up here and laugh and act like, oh, it's no big deal. Moody only got 3 minutes, but his role had been solidified. You could count on him, and you could also count on some production from Pods. Maybe you get that tonight. But, Steiny, I am startled through three games, even though I know, quote-unquote, they're babies and young in regard to playoff pedigree. I don't know if the Warriors got a backup, like a plan B to that, especially when you take the best player off the court.
Yeah, I just think
the offense is hard.
Well, exactly. You know why? Because the Minnesota Timberwolves, their athleticism allows them to pressure on the perimeter. Mm. And they've got Rudy Gobert back there, the guy everybody loves to make fun of. But the reality of the situation is, If a Jaden McDaniels or an Anthony Edwards or even a Naz Reid is guarding Pajemski on the perimeter, they are quick enough to keep him in front. And so he'll dribble while the shot clock's running down. But even if he can get by, there's nowhere to go because Gobert's just sitting there. And if Trayce Jackson-Davis isn't in the game, they don't have a lob threat.
Man.
But you know, you look at a guy like Anthony Edwards. I mean, that guy defends. At certain points, he really, really defends, and that's the other thing. They can switch everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Edwards has defended probably five guys in this series, including Jimmy Butler.
But that used to be our calling card, Steiny, switch everything.
Well, that was when you had length at every position. That's when you had incredible intelligence at every position, and you had some athletes in there, too. And that was, you know, that was 6-8 years ago.
Wow.
Let's go to Joe in Walnut Creek. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Great, man. Loving the show.
Thank you.
Hey, before I start, I'm going to drop a little bit of knowledge on you guys.
All right.
Guess how many players in playoff history have scored 30 points in a playoff game? 438 of the 4,500 players that have ever played in the playoffs have scored 30 points. That's 10% of players. So that's why it's really hard to score 30 points in a playoff game, and only the top players can do it. So that's why everybody's frustrated when Kuminga and Trayce Jackson are getting DMPs throughout the year. Here's the thing. Right now, your veterans, Kerr's refusal to trust young players and over-reliance on veterans is costing the team. Now you've got injured older players who needed less minutes throughout the whole season, and they're breaking down and burning out at the end of the year. And that's why everybody's frustrated when you look at a guy that can do what JK did and how unprepared he is now because he was not given the chance or the minutes throughout the season. And you can say the same thing with Trayce. Looney was terrible last game. The fouls that he made at the end of that game cost them dearly. And you can't tell me that Trayce Jackson getting more minutes throughout the year would have been better for the team, not only just for Trace, but also for Looney, who probably would be a little bit fresher. Come on. It's so frustrating. That's all I got to say, man.
Thanks, man.
439 players now have scored 30 in NBA history in a playoff.
I mean, Joe, you're echoing a lot of people's frustration.
Yeah, right.
And
that's what it is. That's a great word.
Well, I think there's absolutely something to it. They did rely too much on the veterans in the regular season. And I think the way Steve Kerr looked at it is we're in 11th place. Now we got Jimmy Butler. We're one game under 500, and we got Jimmy Butler, and now we're starting to win. I've got to get Butler in here incorporated with Draymond and Steph, and it came at the expense of some of the younger players. But Butler got banged up, and Curry's out, and now the guys that – yeah, you know what? Like, in a perfect world, yes, the Warriors should have been load managing Curry, Draymond, and Butler all year, or at least since Butler got here. But they didn't have that. They didn't have that wiggle room. They didn't have, they had to make a run, and Kerr thought that was the best way to make it, I think.
And no excuses, Donnie, but I'll just say this because it's how I'm feeling. When it's all said and done, and I know the first place you're running to, and you'll stay on the bullhorn, but the Jimmy injury, and he's playing, he's back, and Curry, that just knocked us out the box. You know what I mean? And it's like, are you shocked? Because I feel like – but – that's the reality, and we're scuffling. We're still in it. We're down one game, 2-1 in the series. But even when the Warriors scored every point of that 97, I sat there like, "Oh my gosh, this is harder than a calculus exam." This offense to score, even like, that don't shock you at all? Even Steph being out, even with Dre out there before he found out how hard it is offensively.
That doesn't shock me one iota. Like, I get it, they're not Houston defensively, but Minnesota's still a really good, really good defensive team.
Well, they struggle to score with Steph sometimes. I mean, so, right. Like, against Houston, man. They had, like, three games and they didn't break 100. But the Kuminga thing is kind of a conundrum, because I do agree with the caller. It's like, if this was there might have been some work he could have done to extract it. But the point, I think,
great work.
Watching these last two games, isn't that, couldn't you interpret it as evidence that that's actually why Kerr shouldn't have trusted the young players more? Like, these role players haven't given you much, if anything, so why would you lean more into them? Like, they scored, 24 points, non-Kuminga and Butler in Game 3? The rest of those guys.
Man.
Why is that evidence? And I can see how some people look at it and say, well, they should be ready. You know, there should be more given to them during the regular season. But I could also see the coaching staff saying, this is what we have to work with. I can't rely on that game to game. And it just feels like you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
You are right, Evan, but wouldn't I say you're kind of damned when Kuminga's showing you, even without the work, that he's capable of this. So even on his worst day, you should have maybe just fed him, even if it's just scraps predicated on if one of the guys goes down, he would be more polished and ready to do this and be consistent.
No, I agree. Kuminga's in kind of his own individual category.
The others, I'm shocked, though, Evan. I hear you. I'm shocked at Moody and Pods. Steiny, you guys could say, Goo, why are you? I am. Let's be honest. How many shows have we done, not saying, oh, they're all stars, where they helped you, Evan and Steiny, get to the sevens, to be like, it's not just okay to say, oh, it's their first, they're young. This fall off is hurting the team. Before their fall off.
And the veteran players have been hurt and not played up to their standards. At least Draymond Green hasn't. Listen, I'm kind of doing this just to mess around a little bit, but I mean, okay, the last two games for Kuminga.
No pressure.
I'm giving him credit.
Yeah.
But so Kuminga's last two games, if Kerr would have been playing him all year,
yeah,
could he have had two better games than the last two games he's played anyway?
I don't know.
Exactly. You know, so, and I get it. This is going to be on Steve Kerr's ledger. There's no doubt about it. Whether Kuminga stays or whether Kuminga goes, this is Kuminga and Kerr are going to be linked. And if Kuminga stays here and develops into a player after Steve Kerr leaves, that's one thing. If Kuminga goes somewhere else and flourishes, that's going to look bad. But if Kuminga goes somewhere and doesn't do well, that'll be the other part of the story. But right now, he's going to play, and he's going to play a lot tonight, and he's probably going to play a lot for the rest of the series. That doesn't make up for him not playing a lot after he came back from injury, but, I mean, he'll play tonight.
Ask me who my guy is tonight that I think has to ball out for them to win, and you tell me if shocking.
I'm Batman.
I mean, I think they need five guys, but go ahead.
A Draymond. It's just, he can't.
What's he got to do?
Just be available, one. Stoney, we need 12 to 13 points from him. I'll take 10. And just be that monster that he was in Game 7. Now, that again, Pitbull versus Pitbull. Shingun is not built like Randle. And Stoney, I think Randle is just winning those battles of Draymond's probably saying to himself, damn, I'm tired of just, you know, messing with this bull in the China shop. But Dre's my guy, Stoney. He said, what's he got to do? One, be available. And two, he's got to score.
Well, this team has never scored, but for infrequent times.
He took four shots in 29 minutes. And I know he never kind of looks for a shot unless he's wide open, but maybe you call for him or set something up early just to see if you can get him going from deep, Stoney. We've seen him in his first two threes in games and get the place hype.
He's had two games in double figures, 2 out of 10. So every fifth game, he's going to score for you. Other than that, here are the numbers. 4 points, 8 points, 7 points, 6 points, 7 points, 8 points. And then he had 16 in game 7 and 18 in game 1. And he went right back to 9 and 2 points, respectively. You can't, like, when people say, Draymond's got to score, it's kind of like, tell me how, other than he makes some threes tonight. Like, he's not going to score. He doesn't score unless he makes threes.
Let me ask you. I'm looking at TJD, and I told you guys I was shocked that he was in the starting lineup. But, Stein, he went 3 or 4 from the field, and there were times in that game where the Warriors' offense, it was just hard. But 3 or 4 from the field equates to 11 minutes. Did you see him getting taken advantage of to where he only played 11 minutes?
I didn't see him do anything so incredible that he should have gotten more than 11. Mm. That's the way I would look at it.
He also played a lot less Gobert in game 3. And it's, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you guys thought about the end of the fourth quarter, but like Rudy wasn't on the floor much.
And that's funny you say that. And I should be better at my job. They had the numbers in this series of the Warriors, Minnesota's plus minus with Rudy. They're hammering the Warriors with Rudy off the floor, and the Warriors are winning when he's on there. So maybe they figured that out, Evan, and that's why we didn't see him.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, they were hammering with Rudy off the floor.
Okay, because all
Minnesota.
I know is Gobert started game 2.
And it went good.
He was a plus 18, so...
And I know where to go get it because I heard it, but I'm going to get it for you.
But yeah, that's true. But they also won the game by 24. Yeah.
No. But what I'm saying is I'm surprised that after that short of a stretch where he was a plus 18, he could be
negative
minus for the rest of the series. But maybe he is.
Well, I just think that the point is like they've played better when they've gone small.
Yeah, wow.
When Randle's been more of their point, I don't know, center or something.
Yeah, but I think when he's in there, there's a defensive component that allows the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'd like to see that number with them on the floor and without, like, defensive rating-wise. Because I thought Gobert hurt the Warriors a little bit on Saturday.
In a good way?
No. He made his free throws.
Oh,
he was 5 for 6 from the line.
Yeah.
I think he had 9 points. Like, he didn't – I don't think he hurt the Timberwolves on Saturday. I thought he helped them, if anything, when he was playing. Let's go to Rahm and Arinda. Hey, Rahm, how you doing?
Doing well, Matt, Daryl. Happy Monday.
Same to you. I got you.
The question after game one was, does this team have enough reliable scoring? And Matt, I love the way you broke it down arithmetically. You basically said, look, out of your top two guys, and historically that's Butler and Curry, you got to get 50, and you got to get 50 from the other guys, and then you can see where you stand. Well, Curry's out, and look at the last game. You get 77 out of Butler, Hield, and Kuminga, which is unreliable in itself, and you get 20 from seven other guys. This team is just unreliably going to score. The only thing reliable about this team is they're going to live in the 90s, and that's probably going to be good enough for you to be a top eight team in the NBA, even against a Minnesota team that I would argue is still not playing very good basketball. Probably good basketball, but that's going to be good enough in this series. So I think there's a lot of prisoners of the moment today, but there's plenty of data on this team to show that this team is unreliable, and they're probably reaching their ceiling right now as being a top eight team in the NBA.
Thanks, Rahm. Appreciate the call. I mean, think about it. Even when the Warriors were going pretty well, when after Butler came and Steph was playing, one of the things we talked about was, even with Steph Curry, I'm a little worried about their three-point shooting. Well, now they don't even have Steph.
Yeah, we said that.
Now they don't even have Steph Curry. So that's obviously gonna be an issue. 415 on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line said Gobert was not bad in the last 5 minutes. He discourages a lot of players from driving into the lane. He certainly discouraged Jimmy Butler when he gets into the lane, because he's looking to, to try to kick it out. Let's go to Gary in Daly City. Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Good, guys. It's been a long while. The guy kind of got my – between Randall and Edwards, say tonight, you start with 55-60. So that's what you start the game with. You got to beat 55-60 between – you got to have Butler and Kuminga beat that. Match it, and you got to help. Because they're driving them right off the three-point line, even though the Warriors don't got no shooters. They're just feeding them right in. And like the gentleman said before, Minnesota's still not playing their best game. And they figure they got a free one tonight because they're going back home. So they might just play really loose and say, let's try to close this out tonight. But the thing, other point I want to get, when Curry retires after 2 years, this is the product the Warriors are going to have. Think about all the Fairweather fans that go to the game. They have no idea they played in Oakland. They have no idea Bill King was the announcer, et cetera. I've been with them since 65. This is the product they're going to have. Draymond will be retired or playing on TNT, and this is what they're going to put out there. Most of the players in the league are either be retired, the top guys, or maxed out with this teams they got like Ant-Man. So that's why I think Joe Laker bought a women's team so people can go out and see another sport. I'm being honest about it. If you guys tell me this is the product they're going to have right now in the future after 2 years, and that's with Curry staying healthy and Draymond just, staying on. I'm not trying to be depressing here, but that's what they're going to have. Enjoy the ride. I mean, I've enjoyed it since 1965.
Thanks for the call, Gary. No, it's not the time.
Yeah, we're not there.
To start thinking about.
Yeah, come on now.
What if they win tonight?
No, there we go. What we'll be doing tomorrow is, when's Curry coming? Is that game six real? I don't know how you guys feel about that. If it were to get to six, Donnie, Evan, you think he's got action from what you've seen? Went through a workout, a light workout, but people are calling it I hear you.
You really don't know.
I'm with you. I wouldn't risk it.
So strange from everything that we've been told and read about that he could be 100% and ready to go game six. He also might miss another week.
Is there anything to Kuminga going off and Curry not being out there?
Of course. I mean, of course. Somebody has to make up for that 25 or 30.
But his feeling of like, I'm not messing up the apple cart. You know what I mean? Like, they need me. And he's taking advantage. They need somebody that can create. I don't know. It's just a thought I had.
I mean,
because it's so Steph-centric. He's not out there. Jonathan's watching his team struggle to get offense.
The Warriors shot 34% from three against the Rockets, and they're shooting 34%. No, they shot 31% against the Rockets from three, and now they're shooting 34% against Minnesota. They're just, without Steph Curry, they're daring the Warriors to beat them from the perimeter, and the Warriors aren't doing it. And why aren't they doing it? Well, who's their next best three-point shooter? Buddy Hield.
Right.
Unfortunately, Buddy can be guarded better, even though he's 4-for-8. He can be guarded better without Curry.
Perhaps.
Jimmy Butler, not a three-point shooter, although he made a couple. Draymond Green, it's clear that teams are saying, let him go, and if he can make 4 or 5, he's going to make 4 or 5, but for the most part, he's not, and then he might stop shooting them. Quentin Post, he's a great three-point shooter, but guess what? He's not. He's pretty slow. It's a slow release, and these athletes and these tall perimeter guys can close out on him. Who else? Pods. Pods has never been a consistent three-point shooter. Moody?
Consistent. He almost shot 40 at one. I hear you.
When he's wide open. When he's wide open, when Steph's on the court, like all the shots are harder without Steph. And I don't know what the answer is.
They took care of the ball, only 14 turnovers.
Yeah. Let's go to Free the People. Free the People in Oakland. What's up, man?
Happy Monday, gents. Tapping in with you to talk about these Warriors. I think I want to start off by saying the power of positivity is a real thing. And if you guys read books, The Power of Positivity is a great book to go out and check out. With that being said, the keys to victory tonight, I think we need 18-plus from Buddy. I need 15-plus from JK, and I have to have 10 to 12 points, like Goo was saying, from Draymond. Yep. It is a must. We are not winning this game if we get 2 points from Draymond again tonight. The other thing from Draymond, I need Draymond to rebound more. I don't care if he gets blocks or steals, but I need him to rebound. I just don't feel like he's really giving a real effort on the boards, and that's kind of killing me. Aside from that, Moses Moody, I was hyping him up. I was one of the guys calling you, Steiny, 4 months ago. Look at Moses Moody now. 2 months ago, look at Moses Moody now. But since the playoffs started, even versus Houston, he's just seemed extremely timid. He's not even willing to shoot when he's wide open. Like, the willingness I saw him to let it fly 2 months ago when we were leading up to going into the playoffs, he was letting it fly. He was aggressive. He was not playing with fear. Since the Houston series, he's looked soft with a capital T at the end of that thing. He just does not want it. I'm not out on him, but I just don't feel like he can contribute, and I'm totally with Steve Kerr not giving him much burn. Now, for the last thing that I'll talk about, and I hope you guys can touch on it a little bit. I've heard a little bit of it. I'm the biggest Draymond apologist you will find. I have made every excuse for why Draymond is okay and why he still matters to this team. And for the most part, I still believe most of the Kool-Aid that I've been drinking. But this might be the end of the road for him. The same way it was the end of the road for Clay, and it was difficult to see him go, this may be the same situation for Draymond. With Giannis being on the block and the potential of being able to make that move, as a Warriors fan, and as much as I love Draymond and do not want to see him go, and he's one of my all-time favorite Warriors of all time, it might be time. Jonathan Kuminga clearly is not going to get consistent minutes from Steve Kerr, and if I have to package Draymond and do a sign and trade with Kuminga in some way, shape, or form so that I can extend this run for Steph Curry, I think I'm doing it this offseason. Guys, as always, it's a pleasure to always listen to your show. Thanks for taking my call.
You're the man, fellas. You're the man. Free the People. Appreciate it. By the way, $9.99 on the YouTube Chat
all
from
in.
Glass Scratch Repair in the South Bay. The Rocket series where they got blown out in Houston, the bench came in, ate up their lead. If the starters come in gassed right away, pull the starters, play the bench, rest the starters for when Curry returns. That's from Glass Scratch Repair for $9.99. All right, 888-957-9570. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Memorial Day weekend is almost here. Swing by Valvoline Instant Oil Change and make sure your vehicle is road ready. No appointment. Stay in your car. Done in about 15 minutes. Visit BayAreaOilChange.com for locations and coupons.
I saved the day.
I am Captain Appropriate Fear.
I'm Batman.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Game 4 tonight at Chase Center, 7 o'clock. You get it all right here on 95.7 The Game.
We'll I don't want the season over, Steiny. I want it to keep going so we can have a damn parade.
Are you still feeling confident that the Warriors, what if the Warriors swept this series? Remember when you said that after game one?
Dude, you are, had Curry got hurt, had not got hurt, we wouldn't know. But we heard Buddy say, I'm Batman. You know what it's going to take? We need Spider-Man and Aquaman. We need two others to step up tonight. We just do. And Draymond's the number one candidate, and I'll take 18 from Buddy.
What if Draymond's wearing down, which he probably
no,
is?
No, I could get that. Man, Steiny, oh, he ain't rebounding. He's probably gassed.
Well, then how are they going to win the series? How are they going to win the next series?
Well, you got to get it to Steph if that's on the table. But forget that. How you win tonight? They ain't been throwing the ball away. Draymond had 5 turnovers. A couple of them are just like, come on.
Let's go to Robin. Robin's in San Francisco.
Yeah, here we go.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, you two.
Talk
how
to
are
us.
You?
All right. Miss you.
So here's the deal for me. And I'm going to, like, speak for others, too. But I like to usually speak for myself. Warrior fans, I'm talking to y'all right now. Y'all are so delusional. It makes no sense. They're good enough to make it in the playoff, but they're not good enough to run for a championship. They are not a championship team. And the bench has been pooping them all year, just inconsistent. They don't have a consistent six man, they don't have a consistent shooters. Anyone not named Curry can't shoot a ball. You guys, so great to have Jonathan Kuminga show up. So great for his back not to be turned to the play. So great that he made some baskets. So great that people created for him because he doesn't do anything. So, you know, that hope about Kuminga, for me, it's like, let that go. And right now, though, the only saving grace to me for Kuminga is that Pods is the most useless Warrior right now, okay? They won championships because they had a bench. You don't get there without one. And our bench is not good enough. And it's a result of many things. As a result, where we became victims of our own success and can't get money. We can't get veterans to come off the bench and be here. It's a myriad of things.
Right.
So this whole, you know, so this whole thing of living in the past about what we were and you apply it to now, it's not so. Wake up. The bench, they need bench help. And they don't have it because they don't have the quality of players. Anyway, go Warriors. Love you guys.
All thanks, right. Robin. Appreciate
so
the call.
So I got to just – go ahead, Stoney.
No, go ahead.
So we had a conversation Friday, and everybody was fuzzy, and I'm a part of it. So I'm not. I'm still standing on 10 toes. But the way Robin viewed her team and it not being deep in the areas, does that fall back on Dunleavy?
Well – again,
or are we finding out just how good the others are, and now maybe you take assessment when it's all said and done?
Keep in mind, the Warriors were trying to improve this team while they cut their payroll. That's just the way it went. They can say whatever they want, but they traded Jordan Poole for an expiring contract.
Wow.
And they felt like they needed to do that because – they needed more flexibility, and they'll tell you that maybe, I mean, it's true. The Butler trade took away some of their depth, and it took away actually a lot of their depth when you consider that it kind of took Kuminga out of the mix. Man. So they had Kyle Anderson, they had Schroeder, they had Waters, they had, who was the other guy? I can't even remember. But at the beginning of the year, they were playing a ton of guys, and everybody thought it was they were playing too many, and they probably were early, but now they might not have enough to play. Let's go to Marvin in San Francisco. Hey, Marvin. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, guys. I want to throw in a couple of things. First of all, on the Draymond thing, this last game, as soon as Draymond kept going for a couple of minutes, and they let him go on too long all the time, all they had to ever do was tell that guy, you say one more to the referees and you're sitting on the bench for the rest of the quarter. And after a couple of yanks out of the game, he would get it. The only reason we're losing is we're not hitting open shots. I've noticed a new phenomenon, and that is guys beat the outside perimeter defender. And then they go driving into the basket. They have an easy 10-footer without any obstruction. They have a lay-in if they want to go to the basket. Instead, they go all the way through the key and pass it to a guy on the other side and shoot a three, and he's covered. I mean, I don't know what this psychosis is, but they're passing up easy mid-range shots, and they're just desperate to get threes. I think that Steve Kerr needs to talk to the referees about 7 seconds in the key on the part of these guys on these other teams. They set up in the key and wait for the ball. They get the ball. They dance around. And then they go to the basket and get either a basket and then end one. They're in the key for 7 seconds. It's 3 seconds is the rule. We're getting called for stuff that we're not being allowed to play playoff defense. That's nonsense. That stop action decision against Draymond Green proved they're out to get him. That was the most obvious offensive foul I've ever seen in the NBA.
Wow.
He threw his arm out, and they still called Draymond for the foul. I mean, it's ludicrous. And I really hold the Warriors responsible. When they let the league get away with suspending him for a finals game, when he wasn't called for anything, he got stepped over by LeBron, and LeBron never got anything. Okay, and then 3 days after the game, Kiki Vandeweghe's wife talked him into suspending Draymond by declaring what happened a flagrant foul. I mean, the Warriors never defended him. They still don't defend him.
Oh boy!
And I thought it was the last call on him. He blocked a shot. When we go into the basket, it's always a clean steal and a good block. When every Minnesota guy goes in, that referee over in the corner was calling the whistle every time they drove to the basket, and he couldn't even see half the foul because there were players between him and where the contact allegedly took place. So all we have to do is hit open shots. I think everybody talking about rosters, we can't do anything about rosters. But these players can stop and hit a mid-range shot.
Well,
and I think Kerr needs to really look in the mirror, not having played Kuminga all this time. The guy goes for 30 points. He's the third leading scorer on the Warriors this year. And here's Kerr not playing him for 2 series. Unbelievable. That's my take. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call.
Man, that was a lot, Stoney, but man.
I think, go ahead.
Here's that charge, Stoney. I just thought that was a charge. Put his hand down.
Well, they went to review.
Yeah.
And New York said it was a block. So that's just the way that one went. But, you know, I think he's absolutely onto something with what the Timberwolves are doing is, let's say you're Pods and you beat somebody on the point of attack. Okay, well, Gobert's right in the middle of the lane.
Oh, man.
So he tried to hit a couple floaters. He couldn't make one. He couldn't make a floater. But outside of Pods, who can make that little 15-footer? Not Gary Payton.
Not Moody.
I mean, Kuminga can. Kuminga can make that 15-footer. But what I'm getting at is, you're right. And then Pajemski doesn't take a floater. Now he's in the lane.
I'm seeing it right now.
And again, for the second time or third time, when a player like Jimmy Butler is in the lane or Pods and Gobert's defending him, the Timberwolves are not helping. They're flooding the three-point line at that point.
There's no breakdown at all.
So even if Pods dribbles baseline under the basket. Okay, Gobert's there, but if you look at the other perimeter defenders, they're not sinking in because they trust Gobert enough that he's not going to get used consistently. You may score off him once in a while in there, but, you know, Pods is going to have trouble scoring off him. Butler doesn't want to because he makes the shots more difficult, and the rest of the Minnesota Timberwolves have been on the same page in terms of not sinking too much.
They're not even deviling Jimmy.
They don't have to because Gobert is sitting in the middle of the lane. He just is. Let's go to Dave in Fresno. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. You know, waiting. A lot of the callers took some of my takes, but just real quick, I just think the roster construction, you know, it's obvious that it's definitely, you can say that about any team. You lose your best player, your chances go down dramatically. So, I mean, if we're not saying anything, that's not breaking news. But I want to ask you guys, what do you think the leash should be for somebody like Potts? Because I think he's not getting enough heat, in my opinion. We've been killing Kuminga and Draymond and Jimmy. But I feel like Paz, who has just been struggling, honestly, I don't know when I watch the game, like, what is it that, like, what's his specialty? Like, what does he do? Like, what is something that warrants him getting over 30 minutes a game? All I hear is, oh, he plays smart, he plays hard. Well, I got to get more than that. I got to get some scoring, some assists, some rebounds. Right now, I just don't see why he has this long leash, whereas Kuminga in days where he struggles, oh, come on out. Or Moody, hey, he missed two shots in a row, come on out. Pod, just like he can do no wrong. And I'm not saying they're losing because of Pod, but it's just something I don't think is being talked about enough. Like, he just right now he's just getting cardio at this point. Like, I don't know what he's bringing to the table. Like, you know, and it's just, you know, going forward with this series and going forward, they need to reassess this roster, because for it to be Steph or bust like that, that's not good.
No.
I think not having him, obviously, it makes your chances that much harder. And you think Draymond Green's going to be your second best player. Draymond Green works when you have KD, Clay, and Steph. When he can just be like a fourth, third, or fourth option, then he could be Draymond. But when you're calling, hey, Draymond, we need you.
No,
we need
I'm
you
with
as our
you there.
Second best player. He's just, that's not him.
No. Mm. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call.
Well, we're not asking him to be him, Stoney. Just contribute. It's hard out here right now. Go ahead on your Pod's take, because all the people that were in the bushes, the jackals that were hating on Pods, are now coming out in droves. I get it. But how many ball handlers do you have before the inception of Pat Spencer? So let's just start there. But we can't hate. I'm not defending Pods, because I'm disappointed. And it's making me think in year two, Steiny, what is he really in the offs if he followed up in regular season? I'm making the differentiation now. Like, oh, because his position's a big deal. But we can't hate on what got him here. He balled out.
He plays too much for a really, really good team. He just does. And I completely understand. Kuminga plays a position where they have good players at. Pods plays a position where they don't have good players other than Steph Curry. Do you really want to go with Pat Spencer ahead of Pods? Because I don't know who else can handle the ball as much as Pods in that second unit. Peyton, no chance.
Right.
Buddy, no chance.
Well, I'm with you. But the way this thing is going, let's just say they were guaranteed 8 more playoff games, Steiny. That Pat Spencer question, if Pods doesn't get it fixed, would be something I'd want to see.
Okay, and then think about that for a second.
Because he's not bashful,
the guy,
Pods. He's shooting.
Think about that. The guy that everybody talks up, Brandon Pajemski, he's losing minutes to Pat Spencer. Like, for all you guys, if that were to happen, for all those people out there that's like, Pods is really good. Pods, you know, Pat Spencer's now taking his minutes.
Well, the whole point to that would be there's an accountability for because he mentioned leash. But, you know, like I said, who are threats to, hey, I'm rooting for everybody in the Warrior uniform. And Steiny, I swear to you, man, I'm just having a problem. Moody and Pods in particular, and I get it. Why would you expect the regular season version of those guys to continue? But if it had or remotely come close on either one, I think we might be up 2-1.
Okay.
But now I'm like, I don't knock, knock. Nobody's answering the door. The stage is too big, and it's okay. But we have no answer.
Draymond Green has not had a good postseason. And Steph Curry has missed the last 3 games and is going to miss the next 2. And we're talking about being pissed off at role players.
I'm not.
Because
I just,
they can't. I'm just saying.
I can't ignore it, though, Steiny.
To think Pajemski and Moody were going to be, I mean.
But it stretches. You'll back me on this just real quick.
They had a couple good games. That's what happens. Pods has had 1 or 2 good games in the postseason.
That's what I'm saying. I'm keep going back to the regular season to where
matter.
It was stretches, like 10 or 12 games, sometimes 14.
Right. And this is the other thing.
You could rely on. So that's my fault that I'm dealing with it.
But I don't know why you wouldn't, Goo. It's such a truism in the NBA. We all subscribe to it. The playoffs are different. So then when they look different, like, why are we surprised? I don't understand that. It's hard for first-year playoff guys to play well because they've never seen intensity like this with athletes like this, with professionals like this. And the regular season is the regular season.
Yeah. And I'm learning that.
Let's go to Scott in Pleasanton. Hey, Scott. What's going on, man?
Hey, Stanley Guru. Thanks for having me on the call. What are we talking about here, right? I mean, come on. We know why they lost that game. It was a tough game. It was a game
right.
where it was, you know, Minnesota had to get that game or they were going to be in trouble. And they had a chance down the stretch. They played good defense. And at the end of the day, they didn't, you know, they got out defended at the end because of Butler, and they defended him well, and he was able to score and drive it through. But let's face the facts. The reason we lost that game is we didn't get anything from Draymond. We didn't get anything from Pods. He was 1-for-10. He missed all his 0-for-6 from inside the arc, right? That's inefficient. You can't win. Then you look at GP2. He's the key guy off the bench other than Kuminga. He had 2 points on 25 minutes. You can't do that, right? You got two starters who are eating up a lot of minutes. You got 29 and or 39 as well. You got a guy off the bench at 25. They're giving you 2, 5, and 2.
Yep.
That's 9. You're not going to win a playoff game that way. What are we talking about? You don't throw it out the window. Daryl Johnson's got it. If we want to win this game, adverse times brings out greatness. We need Draymond to be the heartbeat. Not necessarily give us 15, 12, 10.
I got
10.
It, man.
He's got to bring the intensity. He's got to be the driver of the tempo of the game, and he's got to bring that to the rest of the group to get the confidence. That's not the Draymond we had in Game 3. That's just the way it works, right? He's got to be there. Daryl's got it. Evan's got it as well. Kerr's relied on his youth. He's tried to rely on his youth. The reason the veterans had to play down the stretch is to get us where we are today. If we didn't have them, we would not be maybe even in a position to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
we had to scratch and claw just to get into the position we are today. So don't throw everything out the window because of the one loss. Adverse times bring out greatness. Jimmy's always going to show up. It's about time. If you're going to be a starter, you're going to play 39 minutes. You've got to be a bigger factor than what Pods has been. He's young. He can come through. I think Draymond's going to bring the intensity during adverse times, understanding the circumstances, and bring home a win. You guys have a good one.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah. Appreciate the call.
Yeah. I never know what I'm going to do, my body, but I say all the stuff that was bad, they were up 6 in the fourth. So maybe I need to go from there, Steiny, and it's about tonight, Game 4. Try to play that hellified defense that they've been playing to where you've kept yourself in the game and had a lead in the fourth quarter. Duplicate that. Be more efficient offensively. Draymond, smart with the fouls, stays in the game. And maybe one of these guys, whoever it is, Donnie, steps up and hits shots and helps Jimmy and Kuminga. And we go back to Minnie for Wednesday Game 5 to 2-2. I mean, that's all you can do.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Let me tell you what's going to happen tonight. Pods is playing 30 minutes. Okay. You know what I mean? For the people, oh, you need to be yanked out. Like, you don't have that. Well, Pat Spencer's there too, who we like. But you know what I'm saying.
This is Steve Kerr on how Jimmy Butler's feeling after playing 43 minutes.
He was incredible last night. In hindsight, I would have loved to have gotten him a couple more minutes, during the meat of the game, but it's tricky. It's, as I said, without Steph, we're walking a fine line. And so we've got to balance the risk of keeping him off the floor versus the gain of, getting him a little more rest.
Yeah, 43 minutes for Jimmy Butler.
But incredible, Stoney, if you're 1-for-8 in the fourth.
What's that?
Is that incredible?
What?
Jimmy was great, but incredible. I think you finished the game, too.
Yeah. I mean, he's 35 years old, and he's going up against a young team with athletes. To me, it stands the reason why he was struggling late. I mean, he kept him in it for three quarters.
Yeah.
And that's what life's about.
Thank you.
It is.
Let's go to Frank in Atlanta. Hey,
ATL.
Frank, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing? Hope all is well.
Thank you. You too.
I just wanted to say about we're really struggling because of our bench. That's like other people were calling and saying our bench is not doing well, like they're not hitting shots, but we haven't made any adjustments to what Minnesota is doing. We have to get to the point of, like, Pods. Last year, Pods learned from Chris Ball the three dribble, get to the free throw line, one sidestep dribble, 15-foot mid-range jump shot. That same jump shot that kept Chris Paul in the league the last 7 years. That's the shot Podziemski should be shooting now. He shouldn't be 1-for-8 from three-point land. He needs to be 4-of-7 on that shot.
Mm.
That's the shot he needs to be shooting over and over again. The same with J.K. J.K., we have to run some screenaways, so have J.K. set some screens and drive and break off of the screen and cut to the basket and make the Timberwolves defend the basket. Because right now, they're not defending the basket. They're defending the three-point line and the drive to the hoop. They're not defending a 15-foot mid-range jump shot.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right, Frank. The question I have is, if that's not a part of your game, it's not just... And you know what?
That's where
they really miss Curry. Because Curry comes off a screen, and if he's got Gobert... He can do some damage against Gobert.
Yeah.
But the other thing Steph does is he's automatic from the mid-range when he steps in there. I don't think Moody and Pods aren't great at that shot. And so the Timberwolves will live with 12 to 15 footers all day long from guys like Pods and Moody and Payton. Now, they want to try to keep Butler out of there, but...
You got to be open to even attempt that shot, Stoney.
It's a little bit tougher
even
for Butler.
Yeah, you got to have room to even pull up on that shot. They are in the Warrior players' space, Minnesota defenders.
Yeah, I do agree with... And we saw a little bit of it when... Remember when Pods... He's had two plays now where he's gotten a guy on his back and then he's gotten the foul from the guy on his back by going straight up. He did it once to Van Vliet and he got DiVincenzo, I think, either in game two or game three. It's like once you're at that point, you raise up and try to nail that elbow jumper because you dribble, one more step in and now you got Gobert.
What about the hook shot?
And what happened to the celebration? See, that's why I didn't like it. Because you bring it out in the offs. You know, the D-cell, you're clowning around with the regular season, and now
it's not
gophers, you got ophers.
The report's out.
I mean, the Timberwolves continue to do a great job of not going for Butler and Pods' fakes.
Your boy has the real quick. I know we're up against Dante's been terrible.
But he hasn't shot well. For sure.
Everything about him.
I love the way he competes, though.
What's that?
We can explore that more on the other side.
That segment was brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
Stop! So what?